ஓம் நம சிவாய். டியர் லிசனர்ஸ் ஆஃப் சைவம் டாட் ஆர்க், தி நெக்ஸ்ட் ப்ரோக்ராம் இஸ் ஸ்பிரிச்சுவல் டிஸ்கோர்ஸ். இன் திஸ் யூ ஆர் அபவுட் டு லிசன் கண்ணப்பர் புராணம், பிரசன்டட் பை டி என் ராமச்சந்திரன். தேங்க்யூ. ஓம் நம சிவாய்.
நோ வண்டர் மாணிக்கவாசகர் செட், கண்ணப்பன் ஒப்பதோர் அன்பு இன்மை கண்டபின் ஃபார் ஃபியர்லெஸ் ரிமார்க்கபிள் நான் பேர் அன்மேச்சட் இம்மேச்சபிள் லவ். The only instance that can be cited is Kannappan, the unique devotee, beheld the unique deity of the Kalahasti hill. He ran towards him, he hugged him tight, he kissed him, he would even eat him if it was possible. He heaved sighs, the hair on his body stood erect, thrilled by ecstasy. This English is a very poor language. This does not have any expression to, a single expression to represent this thought. The hair sometimes you see stands erect. On two occasions you feel it. One is done by fright. The other occasion is delight, joy, ecstasy. For the goose pimple, for your hair standing erect, you see caused by fright, there is a word, horripilation. For its being caused by delight, there is no such expression in English. I don't want to denigrate this language, it's a very good language, but I would like to point out the lack of a word, you see, which is very important. Likewise, you see, there is no equivalent in English for needy. This is being bemoaned by great scholars. There is no one word or group of words, you see, which convey exactly the idea which is held as it were in the womb of the word needy. It is untranslatable. Very well. Kannappan, he is not to be known as Kannappan now, he is known as Tinnan. He said, I have found my Lord. Then, the utter loneliness of the Lord in that great hill, you see, it touched him. Oh my Lord, how can you here abide with help none, alone, near a jungle infested with boars and bears, tigers and tuskers? He grieved sorely did he grieve. I mean, we cannot have any such experience at all. Because the idol there is a stone for us. But for Kannappar, it was a living deity. He beheld on the floor some flowers which were strewn earlier. He saw some water. He also saw some leaves on the ground. And then he wanted to know what these things signified. When questioned, Anand answered thus, I had come here once with your father. I saw a Brahmin bathe the idol, then strew on it flowers and leaves. He also fed the deity. He uttered and muttered a few words, which I could not understand. Then Chinnan thought, these are perhaps really good deeds. If my Lord should esteem them, I should also serve the Lord similarly. That is very important. So his way of worship. Leaves, flowers, water, naivedya. Tinnan, who was hungry, concluded that his Lord also suffered from hunger. There's a word for it, anthropomorphism, attributing human traits to the deity itself. So he said, he felt, my Lord should be hungry, exuberant. So let me part from him, though reluctantly, secure for him whatever will be deemed as victuals, eatables. So he crossed the river, moved into a garden laden with fresh flowers. He stuck to his tuft many leaves and flowers, and then he fried the huge boar and took out some darts. Then he tested the flesh, you see, whether it has been cooked well. Then those arrows, you see, to the end of which, you see, flesh was sticking, he again fried them nicely. Much cooking was done. He tasted the meat, he tasted the flesh, found them to be very toothsome. Then he wove a cup of teak leaves, put the choicest morsels into the cup of teak leaves. These are very delicious. Kolinal kottukkaichu kolumbasai kolundasai padathil veva naavinal mun adan suvai kandu. And all of a different type. Then what happened was, his friends were there, they were all feeling extremely hungry. He totally ignored them. He departed from them. taking the cup in his hand. For ablutions, he filled his mouth with the water of Ponmugali. There were already the leaves and flowers on his tuft. Up he came. He was solely, wholly, and exclusively possessed by one longing only. He must serve his Lord. He took his bow and darts in one hand. In the other, he bore the soft and savory flesh. He leaped over the steps and came to the presence of his deity in all celerity. He moved the leaves and the flowers on the crest of the Lord by a sweep of his slippered foot. What shall I say? He besprinkled the person of his Lord with the water stored in his mouth. Lo, it was palpable love that flowed in liquid form. He lovingly placed on the Lord's crown the leaves and the blossoms which he had stuck in his tuft. Then he placed before the Lord the cup that held the nectarian offering. The great Shiva was pleased to accept the offering. Now came still evening on. Twilight melted into night. Thin and stood God over his Lord. In unwinking alertness, he was poised in his vigil. With the passing of the watches of night, murk faded away. The unsleeping hero heard the pipe of the half-awakened birds and was driven by a penchant to move out into the boscage to secure victuals for his Lord. The hunter hunted, bent on downing the very best to come by sumptuous meat. Now came to the shrine the Shivacharya, the great Shivacharya, the great Agamic Pandit. He was known as Shivagocharya, an acknowledged cognoscente of Agamic Saivism. As he neared the presence of the Lord, he saw scattered pieces of bones and cooked flesh, the footprint of a dog. Ah, Anuchitam Ketten! Woe is me! He cried. He jumped and leaped and bounced away from the pollution and cried, Woe is me! What rank pollution is this? Who did it? He almost swooned, but he recovered from his wilting. Anon, he performed the expiatory rites. Mantravattaha Kumbhabhishekam Seidha. He knew how to do it. He performed the expiatory rites and then commenced and completed his puja in strict conformity with the Agamic injunction. He eventually took leave of his Lord and repaired to the woods where he performed his quotidian tapas askesis. Thinnan, meanwhile, had hunted well. He had cooked the toothsome dishes. Then he ascended the hill, and as before, he removed the offerings of the Brahmin and performed the puja after his fashion. Day by sacred day, the love of Thinnan for his Lord waxed great. He would not slumber at night. Remember this. He would not slumber at night, and during day, he went a hunting. The great Shivacharya would come there daily. He would grow sick. He would recover. And then he would do his duty righteously and piously. Meanwhile, the father of Thinnan arrived there with the Devarati and tried to cure him. But he found his exercise to be one in vain. No normal person can know art of Thinnan's beatitude. Sekhidar says, Munbu Thirukalathi Mudalvanar Arul Nokal Inburu Vedagathi Irumbu Pon Anar Pola Yakaidan Parisham Vinay Irandam Saru Malam Mundram Ara Anbu Pirambai Thiriva Our Karthin Alabinaro. As earlier the Lord of Kalathi had cast on him his looks of grace, like iron getting transmuted by the sweet alchemic touch, his twofold karma, his triple mala, were totally done away with. His body came to be wrought of ethereal fire. He moved about in the embodied form of love. Ha! Is he within the ken of anybody's comprehension? By now, 5 days have passed. Sivagocharya underwent untold agony and angst. In his dream, Lord Shiva appeared and said, "Look here. The man who has scared you is so dear to me. His entire form is all love for me. All his knowledge is true knowledge that reveals us. All his deeds are absolutely sweet to us. Know him to be thus, even thus." The priest was bidden to behold everything in person on the morrow. It was the 6th day in the calendar of Thindan's sacred servitorship. As usual, at daybreak, the sleepless bowman set out for his unique hunt. As he returned to the Lord's hill with meat and flesh well cooked, he espied ominous portents. "What hath betid my lord? Woe is me," he cried. As he came near the lord, he beheld blood gushing from one of his eyes. From Thinnan's mouth water spilled. From his hand the cup of flesh and the bow alike slipped down. His tuft trembled, and from it fell down the fresh blown flowers and leaves. He quaked in agony. Down he fell crashing. Then he rose up and wiped out the blood. But the blood continued to flood. He was dazed. Somewhat revived, he pondered thus. Who had done this? Up he rose, casting his look in all directions, and seizing his bow. He fell forth to the slope of the huge hill, sleuthing a great stretch. There were no hunters anywhere. Neither were there any animals. He returned to his deity. He hugged him closely and wept bitterly like a child. Then he rose up to secure herbs that could heal the wound. He waded through the herbaries, gathered precious herbs, rushed to his deity, squeezed the herbs, and poured the demulcent juice into the bleeding eye. This was all in vain. He was bamboozled. He was flabbergasted. What could he do? But on a sudden, a thought flashed across his mind. Flesh can be cured by flesh. With delay none, he carefully gouged an eye of his and fixed it on the bleeding eye of his lord. The blood ceased to gush. Up he jumped in delight. He stroked his hill-like shoulders. Kundana valanda tholgal kuttinar. He danced for joy. However, his joy was short-lived. Blood began to pour from the other eye. For a minute or two, Thinnan stood dazed. Then he said, "I will not be daunted. I have known of the cure. I still have an eye. I will stop it. I will scoop it and gouge it on my lance." If he should scoop out his eye to graft it on the eye of the Lord, he would become blind. The moment his eye is scooped out, to precisely place the gouged eye on the bleeding eye of the Lord, he planted his left foot on the eye of the Lord. Love in him welled up. He chose a unique dart and applied it to his eye. Lord Shiva could endure this no more. With his unique hand, Shiva stayed the unique hand of his bhakta and announced thrice thus, "Stop, O Kannappa, stop, O Kannappa, stop, O Kannappa." So Kannappa is the name given by Shiva to his deity, Thinnan. His name is Thinnan, the only witness blessed to behold the Lord's Leela was the great Shivacharya. The celestials and the Vedas applauded the act of the peerless devotee. Can there be a better beatitude? Addressing his devotee, Shiva said, "O peerless one, be at my right forever. Marilai, yen valathil nirka. Marilai, O unique one." Now, Kannappa is unique. Well, the first one to donate an eye was Mahavishnu himself. Vishnu, according to Saiva tradition, is a great devotee of Shiva. According to the Vaishnavite tradition, Shiva is a great devotee of Narayana. That is not quarrel. According to Shaiva tradition, Vishnu is a great devotee of Shiva. He was initiated into the performance of Shiva Puja by no less an august personality than Upamanyu, son of Vyagravata. I narrate to you this incident from, which is recorded in the Mahabharata. It is Upamanyu who taught Narayana the Shiva Sahasra Nama, which was thereafter propagated by Vishnu. He was the person to bless the Shiva's devotees with this gift. We meet with this message in the Mahabharata, as I told you earlier. Vishnu hailed Shiva with 1,000 flowers every day. One day, Shiva caused one of the flowers to disappear. This was to demonstrate to the world the unique devotion of Vishnu. Vishnu was not stymied by the disappearance of the flower. He gouged an eye of his and placed it at the feet of Shiva and completed his puja. As a guerdon for his unique act of devotion, Vishnu was blessed with his sprocket wheel with which he did away with Jalandharasura. It is this wheel, this ari, which is hailed as Sudarshana Chakra. This is the version of the Saivite scriptures. This ari was gifted to Vishnu by Shiva at Tiruvidi Midalai. Try to remember this name. Tiruvidi Midalai. The shrine at Tiruvidi Midalai is adorned with a tower which is Vishnu's offering to Shiva. It is known as the heaven descended Vimana, Vin Iri Vimanam. If you visit Tamil Nadu, forget not to make a pilgrimage to Tiruvidi Midalai. The very sight of the Vimana is soul uplifting. Vishnu, the first donor of an eye, is not known as Kannappa. It is Thinnan who is Kannappa. Why? Let me answer this a little later. It is Kannappa and Chandishar who alone are hailed in every one of the 12 Saivite Tirumurais. In all the 12 Tirumurais, you meet with them. Please recall to your mind the shock that Sivagocharya underwent when he found in the presence of Shiva bones and cooked flesh. The agony and the angst that he experienced at that hour defy description. However, Shiva chose to appear in his dream and narrated to him the uniqueness of Thinnappa. Friends, Adi Shankara Bhagavatpada affirms thus. He says of Kannappa, the footwear worn out through constant use in the jungle pathways became the holy darbha grass placed on the body of Pasupati. The pouring of the mouth-bone water became the ablutions of Shiva, the Tripura Samhara. The handful of meat that remained after his eating became the fresh food offering. Lo, is there art which is impossible for devotion? The forester became a unique servitor among servitors. I am not a student of Sanskrit, but I know a bit of Sanskrit. I'll place before you the stanza of Shankara. Margavartita Patuka Pasupate Angasya Kurchayate Gandu Sambu Nishechanam Puraripor Divyabhisheka Yate Kimchit Bhakshita Mamsa Shesha Kabalam Navyopahara Harayate Bhakti Kim Na Karoti Aho Vanacharo Bhakta Vatamsayate. So that is a tribute of Shankara to Kannappa. The life of Saint Kannappa is fraught with the sacred mysticism. I'll finish it in 5 minutes. I will not try your patience. Years ago, I read a paper on mysticism in the Periya Puranam in a seminar held at Dehradun. I took only 10 minutes to dwell on the greatness of Kannappa. I am not drawing the long bow when I tell you that a few of the participants met me after the meeting and tearfully thanked me. The few that thanked me, mark this, were Catholic nuns. I'm not offending any person belonging to any other faith. I just narrate you some facts. Catholics, unfortunately, have no faith in bhakti. It's a secret. The few that thanked me, as I said, were the Catholic nuns. Their Almora convention had taught them through a resolution that the concept of bhakti is a figment of the fevered imagination. They were aware of the resolution. They should have thanked me for opening their eyes and demonstrated the illusion behind the resolution that had been thrust on them. But they didn't openly acknowledge these facts. I think I was intelligent enough to guess them. Friends, a mystic experience is blessed with the God touch. That's the phrase used by Aurobindo, Sri Aurobindo. More often than not, a mute, featureless semblance of the unknown is upperceived and it carries the person in a somnambulist world athwart the enormous trance of space. A gate of dreams is flung ajar and mysteries verge. An instantaneous epiphany takes place, flared by the signals of divine thoughts and heavenly hopes. The person is invested with a splendor, a lovely splendor, which grows into a consecration. After a time, the afflatus spends itself and withdraws. All that remains is a mystic sard behind the ordinary logic of things. If Shiva Bhakti is personified as a human being, Saint Kannappar will be the eyes of that person. Our Nayanar is the inextinguishable light of Saivism. His life of servitorship lasted for 6 days. 6 million eons cannot match the glory of these 6 days. It is said that Kannappar was Arjuna in his previous incarnation. Arjuna was a great devotee of Lord Shiva and he would not allow even a particle of food to enter his mouth before his quotidian performance of Shiva Puja was done in the most proper way. This truth is also attested by the Mahabharata. The progress of Saint Kannappar is thus portrayed by Saint Sekira. Munbu sei tavattin eetam mudivila inbamana anbinai eduthu kaatta. Limitless love welled up in him by reason of the fruition of his ascesis in his past incarnation. Thamum pevani tattuvangal ennum perugu sobanam yeri. He climbed the immense flight of steps, all the graded tattvas. Thingal se sadayar thammai chendru avar kana munne anganar karunai koorndha arul thiru nokkam yeida. Even before he held the Lord whose matted hair sports the crescent, his looks of grace were cast on him. Thinnanar thiru kalatthi nayanarukku iriya seigai enniya ivaiholam. Thinnan thought, these are perhaps good deeds esteemed by the Lord of Thirukkalathi. He resolved to hold fast to this service. Angivan malaimel thevar thammai kandu anaitthukkondu vanginai patri podaval udumbu enna neengan. This thinnan is possessed by the Lord. There in the hill belonging to the Lord and beholding the Lord, he hugged him close like the varan udumbu. Holding fast to the curved cavern hollow, he would not lose his grip. Hal urangar pahal vettayaduvar. He would not slumber during night. During day, he would go a hunting. Inbur vedagatti irumbu pon anar por. Anbu pidambai thirivar. Our karuthin alavinaro. His body had come to be wrought of ethereal fire. He moved about as love embodied. Is he within the ken of thought's comprehension? Nam uraippakkal, words of Shiva. Avanudaiya vadivellam nampakkal anbu. Shiva spake. His form entire is all love for us solely. Magindu mun irundu thangan mudarcharam aduttu vangi mudalvaram kannil appa Gaujiri Sai, and in joy with a dart he fixed it in the eye of the first one. Ullnirainda virippinodum urudani pagali kondu thinnanar kannil undra தரித்திலர் தேவதேவர் வித் எ பூசம் ஃபில்ட் வித் ஜாய் டுக் அவுட் எ யூனிக் ஆரோ அண்ட் அப்ளைட் இட் டு ஹிஸ் ஐ. தி லார்ட் ஆஃப் காட்ஸ் குட் நாட் என்டியூர் இட் எனி ஃபர்தர். அன்பர் கையை தடுக்க மூன்று அடுக்கு நாக கங்கணர் அமுத வாக்கு கண்ணப்ப நிற்க என்ற. டு ப்ரிவென்ட் ஹிஸ் ஹேண்ட் தி லார்ட் ஹூஸ் பேங்கிள்ஸ் ஆர் சர்பன்ஸ் அனௌன்ஸ் த்ரைஸ் இன் அம்ப்ரோஷியல் வேர்ட்ஸ் தஸ் ஸ்டாப் ஓ கண்ணப்பா. ஏறு உயர்த்தவர் தன் கையால் பிடித்துக் கொண்டு என் வலத்தில் மாறிலாய் நிற்க என்று மண்ணு பேரருள் புரிந்தார். சிவா ஹூஸ் பிளாக் பேர்ஸ் த சிக்னம் ஆஃப் த புல் ஹெல்ட் தி ஹேண்ட் ஆஃப் தின்னப்பன் டைட் அண்ட் செட் ஓ யூனிக் ஒன் பி அட் மை ரைட் ஃபார் எவர் தஸ் ஈவன் தஸ் ஹி பிளெஸ்ட் ஹிம் வித் கிரேஸ் அபவுண்டிங். பிஃபோர் ஐ டேக் லீவ் ஆஃப் யூ லெட் மீ பிரிங் டு யுவர் நோட்டீஸ் எ பேசேஜ் ஃப்ரம் அன் ஆர்டிக்கிள் பை மை அமெரிக்கன் ஃப்ரெண்ட் ப்ரொஃபசர் கிளென் யூ யோக்கம் Professor of Comparative Religion, Whittier College. In order to see how an American is able to interpret it. In order to see, one needs eyes. The Kannappa episode takes this obviously, hardly remarkable episode. It takes this hardly remarkable fact and pushes it in rather typical fashion to a shocking, dare I say, eye-opening, extreme. The dramatical skeleton of darshan in Hindu ritual and devotion is given here narrative flesh and blood. The eyes are real. The eyes are real eyes. They see. They communicate. They also bleed. It is as if the following well-known passage from one of Meister Eckhart's sermons had found the anecdote to vivify the abstraction. The eye by which I see God is the same as the eye by which God sees me. One of the sermons of Eckhart. But Saiva Siddhantam slightly differs. I will also inform you about it. My eye and God's eye are one and the same. One in seeing, one in knowing, and one in loving. It is very tempting to use Eckhart's statements and Kannappa's episode as multi-religious fodder for ruminating on many implications for the mystic theology which they suggest. Friends, Saivism affirms that God should be seen with God's own eyes. அவனருளே கண்ணாக காணினல்லால் இப்படியன் இந்நிறத்தன் இவ்வண்ணத்தன் இவன் இறைவன் என்று காண முடியாது. அவனருளாலே அவன்தாள் வணங்கி. Therefore, it affirms that God must be seen with God-given eyes. Approving Appar's theory, Amayappar, who is Shiva, he says, we have revealed a new doctrine through Kannappar. If man needs the Lord's eye to behold him, the Lord, a for sure, for a stronger reason, needs the eye of his devotee to behold him. Which is why he received from Kannappar his eye. Well, Sivagocharya represents the grammar of Saivism and sent Kannappar the best of its idioms. Kannappan, Poppadur, Anbinmai, Kandabir, Kannappan, Ennayim, Aatkundarali, Pannappanitharali, Vavandhi Sonna, Vangarunai, Sonnappun, Neetarikke, Senduudai, Kothumbi. Thank you. I have done.